I'm not going to labor a lengthy introduction tonight or this morning. I want to preach right straight from verse number 15. Well, the Bible said, and he led them as far as to Bethany. This is the resurrected Christ that is leading these men, and he's leading them as far as he's going to lead them. He's not going to lead them not one more step in the flesh ever again. It's transition time. He's fixing to pull out of here, and the Holy Ghost of God is fixing to show up. But do you know where he leads them to? He leads them to Bethany. That word Bethany simply means a house of misery. You know there's a lot of folk that's got just enough God to make them miserable this morning. Hey, say amen to God right there. If you're saved and surrendered and separated, but you don't know nothing about the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God, you don't know what you're missing out on. I don't care what the charismatics, I don't care what half the Baptists say, it's still the will of God to be filled with the Spirit of God and walk with God in the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. House of Bethany, this is a place of misery. Verse 50, this is as far as Christ led them. Well, it's a sad commentary that this is as far as most people go. You study these men's lives, they were saved. They were serious. They were even surrendered. Hey, there's even shouting, but there's still something missing in their lives. They have not yet been to Pentecost, have not yet experienced the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. I want to preach on this subject today before I forget, and preach as far as you're going to go with God. Are you going to hang out in Bethany, a place of misery? Are you going by faith, go back to Jerusalem and get what God's got for your life? I don't want this as far as I'm going to go with God this morning. I want to do more. Boy, I tell you, Brother Massengale, I've been convicted over the last couple of weeks that in my own life, I ain't doing enough for God. I ain't going far enough with God. There has got to be more in the ministry than what we experience. There's got to be more to be done. Hey, there's more people that need to be saved today than it was yesterday. People born on planet Earth, and we hang out in the flesh. We hang out in Bethany in a place of misery and never get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Your preaching will be better with God in it. Your teaching will be better with God in it. Your pastoring will be better with God in it. Your revival meetings will be better as a spirit filled, a man of God. Your family will be better, Daddy, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Your family will be better, Mama, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't stay in Bethany. Amen. Too many people hanging out at Bethany. They're miserable. And I know there's the great debate, and if you want to argue it after church, I guess I'll be glad to oblige you, but I've done been in this thing so long, 16 years. I know that ain't long, but I've been here long enough. What I know, I ain't a-changing. You'd just soon argue with a stop sign as you would argue with me today on the doctrine of being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I know some say, well, they got filled with the Spirit of God before Pentecost. If you keep John 20 where it needs to be, that's where they were sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. You come on over to Pentecost, that's where they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, and there's a vast difference between just being saved. And I hate to say it like that, just being saved, because being saved is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. But there's another level of spirituality. There's a way we can go with God that most folk don't know nothing about. And I'm not talking about a bunch of charismatic perversion. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and seeing dreams and God calling women to preach. I'm not talking about that bunch of perverted junk. Amen. God never called a woman to preach. He ain't going to have you speak in tongues. Amen. I'm going to hasten along now. If we're going to go from Bethany out to Jerusalem, there's going to require four things, and I'll be done. Number one, it requires faith. If you're going to listen to Jesus, and when he leaves out of there, they're going to have to go back without him. They're going back without the Lord. They're going back by faith. They ain't walking by sight no more. They are now required to exercise faith. If you're going to leave Bethany and go to Jerusalem, you're going to have faith. Amen. The Bible still says the just live by faith. The Bible still says it is impossible to please God without faith. Hey, just as we believe God to save us, we're going to have to believe God to do a work with us. Hey, and I can't help but think about Joseph. Amen. The reason he made it through the pit and the reason he made it through prison and all that is because he kept on dreaming. We got a lot of folk in our day that have lost their dream, that have lost their vision that God has put in their heart how to do something for God. Hey, just because it ain't happening today don't mean it ain't going to happen tomorrow. Hey, you may feel like you're spinning your wheels today, but that don't mean God ain't going to put you in gear tomorrow. Hey, there has got to be some faith if you're going to walk with God. Amen. Several things. Let's expound verse number 49 just for a minute. Faith faith does several things. Number one, going further than Bethany, than misery. It requires faith. Number one, faith will pay attention. He said, verse number 49, he said, and behold. I'm going to tell you, when God speaks, faith's going to be a pay attention. Faith will be looking for a word from God, whether it be from the Word of God, whether it be from on your knees in prayer, or whether it be when a man of God gets in the pulpit and brings a message. You're going to be listening for God to have some something to say to you. I'm glad Jesus speaks to me still. It wasn't just a one-time thing when I knelt and the blood fell, but Jesus is still speaking to me. Man, he spoke to me during the service this morning. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know what it is to have a divine God speak to you personally in your heart, then you better check up and see if you really got what it takes to get to heaven. Faith pays attention. But then number two, faith believes the promise. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father. This thing of being spirit-filled, it's not just a command. It's not just good advice. It's not even just a commandment. It is a promise from the Word of God. Faith believes the promise. And I tell you, God wants us to believe him, whether that was the devil, whether that was a fallen angel. When he speaks, faith knows the person of Christ, the person of God. Faith knows in whom they have believed and is persuaded that he's able to keep that which they've committed unto him against that day. Faith knows the person. Faith knows the promise. Faith pays attention. But then watch this. Faith is patient. He said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. We got this McDonald's and Burger King age. Gonna walk up and get it right then and right there. Ain't nobody wanting to wait on God. The Bible said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Faith knows how to be patient. Hey, I'm gonna tell you, these young people, 16, 17, 18, maybe even 20 years old. You young ladies think you're an old maid because you're not married. I'm telling you, you better be patient. You get married out of the will of God, you regret it the longest day you live. Hey, you young boys, you better be patient and wait on God. You don't marry the first thing that comes along unless it's the will of God. It's worth the wait to find the right mate. It's worth the wait to get in the right ministry. It's worth the wait to get the right job. Faith and walking with God and being spirit-filled, you will learn to be patient. That word tarry, I find it several times in the King James. Oh, but three times stand out to me. These people that tarried and waited with God. I remember Hannah, Samuel's mother, the Bible said she's going to tarry with a child until he is weaned. Oh, if we could get Hannah to testify this morning and say, Miss Hannah, are you glad you stayed with that baby? Why, yes, I am. God let her raise the prophet. His words never fail the ground. It ain't always easy being patient with the kids, is it? Hey, amen, but I'm going to tell you, the will of God. I'm not talking about overlooking sin. I'm not talking about letting them get by with murder. But I'm talking about being patient with the weaknesses that's in their lives. Being patient sometimes with immaturity. Being patient with all the questions that they ask. Hey, you and us as dads, we're not patient with our kids. They ain't going to be patient with us. And it's going to bring a relationship of bitterness and upsetness. Hey, somebody, tarry with them kids. Mama, stay up with them kids all night while they're sick. Hey, amen. There's been many a night my wife would come wake me up. She'd say, honey, we need to pray. One of the babies has got a fever over 104, 105. And that worried mama would come. She wouldn't go to sleep. She'd stay right there beside that baby all night long. up feeding it aspirin, taking care of it. She'd come and get me and say, we got to pray. Me and my wife would get on our knees and claim some scriptures and pray. And she'd take that thermometer and put it back in her mouth. And we'd watch the fever go down. I'm going to tell you, that's a tarrying mother and a tarrying. Hey, she tarried with Samuel and raised a prophet that shook this world for God. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't raising whoremongers and fornicators in my house. I'm raising little bitty Baptists. And hopefully one day they'll grow up and be saved Baptists. Say amen right there. Amen. We ought to raise our kids right and take time to do this business of piracy God's way. Amen. Yes, sir. They won't throw them off in daycare, find somebody else to babysit them all the time. Hey, it ain't God's will for this preacher to raise my kids. It ain't God's will for me to raise your kids. God give you them responsibilities and where to raise them. If I could, if I had a paintbrush, I think I'd paint that verse. To whom much is given, much is required on the wall behind me today. Hey, when God gives you children, he gives you much requirements. It requires time. It requires money. It requires patience. Am I preaching anything that makes any sense? I know I'm getting a little bit sidetracked from the text, but leave me alone and let me preach just a little while. Hannah, when your kids, Hannah Terry, it's worth the wait. Oh, but then I find another lady that learned the importance of tarrying. Amen. Ruth in Ruth chapter number 3. She went in that threshing floor and tarried all night long. Amen. Woke up the next day and found redemption. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. But then in Luke chapter number 8, that man, chapter 8 verse number 15, the sower, he tarried over the seed that he had sown. Bob, that's where we miss it a lot of times. So this thing is soul winning. Now I'm going to get back to my text. It's we just put a seed out, maybe water it, and we don't go back and check on it. I'm going to tell you, you show me a farmer that's got a successful crop, and I'll show you a farmer that watches his field, that pays attention to his seed, that takes every measure necessary to keep that crop from failing. Amen. And I wonder sometimes if we'd do a lot better just to take those seeds, put them out, and watch them and cultivate the ground and tarry with a sinner while they're in their sin. No, I'm not talking about going to the pool halls to win them. I don't have to look like them to win them. I'm not going to grow a ponytail to win the backers. Say amen right there. I ain't getting a tattoo to win the dopers. Hey, we can be consistent and be what God wants us to be, but watch the seed and tarry with it. Patient. Some of y'all like me and my wife was, especially myself. Well, when we first got married, man, I wanted to live in a nice place, have nice cars, wanted a 3,000 or 4,000 foot square foot house, 2-car garage. Hey, wanted to be just like mom and dad was, but I didn't pay attention to what they were before they got there. And there's got to be patience. And we had to live in an old rundown log cabin for 9.5 years before the Lord blessed us with a pretty decent house. I ain't complaining about where we was, where we come from. I'm glad that the Lord had let us go, but there's patience. There's patience. There's patience. Yeah, simple preaching, but patience on simple things like buying the right vehicle, being in the right place at the right time. Faith will be patient and wait on God. A 10-day prayer meeting. I wonder how many of us have stayed up here in that upper room for 10 days. He didn't come on the first day. We'd have went to the house and went fishing. If he'd have come on the second day, we'd have got mad and went hunting. But these fellas, they stayed right where God put them. And if you're where God's got you, you better stay put. Don't get mad, jump ship, stay put. Stay with God, stay put. Stay put. You hearing me? The grass ain't no greener on the other side. You'll find another church and there'll be problems just as bad or worse. Hey, man, stay put. Faith will be patient. Faith will wait on God. But watch this. He said, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Faith will get you in the right place. What's so special about Jerusalem? Several things. It was a place of focus. Everybody had their eyes on Jerusalem. You get filled with the Holy Ghost of God, you ain't going to have to walk around bragging about it, telling everybody. They'll know it. You'll be just like Moses was when he came off that mountain that day and had to put a veil on his face. He didn't realize his glory was the glory of God. Now if somebody's got got to come up to you and ask you if you're spirit filled. It's obvious that you're not. Say amen right there. It ought to be evident. It ought to be fruitful that you are filled with the Holy Ghost of God. But faith will get you in the right place. Jerusalem was a place of focus. It was a place of foundation. It was a place of faith. But here's what I like about it. It was a place of thirst. Do you remember that first time that God filled you with the Spirit of God? Come on now, don't look at me like I got a booger hanging out of my nose. It's a doctrine in the Bible. If you're scared of it, you ought to get on this altar and get you some help from the Lord. You're going to hang out in Bethany? Jerusalem was a place of first. Jerusalem was the first place that a sacrifice died for the sins of the whole world, and it was the first and the last sacrifice. It was a place of first where God put his name. I can go down through the list, but can I ask you, where's the first place God ever got a hold of your heart at? Where's the first place you ever said, Lord, I'm saved, I'm surrendered, I've even shouted, but Lord, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, would you fill me? I remember getting saved, they thought I was crazy. My mama said, you need to go see a psychiatrist. I said, I've been to Calvary, you need to go to Calvary yourself. And my brother came to them, told mom, said he's lost his mind. Finally got Matthew to come to church with me. I was thirsty, man. I was turning that country music off. I was turning them junk off on the television. I started the dress right, and boy, Lord was dealing with me about sins of my life. And on a Friday night, I got to a place. On a Friday night, I got to a place where nothing else mattered. I didn't care what nobody said. I didn't care what nobody thought. My little brother went down that altar to get saved. I went down there to pray for him and got filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, God, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know. I'm telling you, God got a hold of my heart. I have not been the same. I'm going to tell you what the problem is with most Baptists. They have never been filled with the Spirit of God. You know I'm telling it right too. I don't want to come across as an expert on the subject. I don't even want to come across as if I'm spirit filled right now this moment. I wouldn't want to seem proud or braggadocious. But I can say this with all assurance. There has been times in my life when I have been filled. Whether I am now or not, I ain't going to tell you whether I am or not, because I believe man stands, I'm spirit filled. I believe he's bragging and grieves the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, yes. There's been times. What was spirit filled to help you do? I got to get on through here. But it'll give you a burden for sinners. It'll give you a burden for church. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night and tell you to pray for somebody. It'll tell you to get a gospel track and preach and give that person a track. The spirit filled life is a life of complete obedience. It's a life of complete faith. And it'll get you in the right place at the right time. I'm going to tell you what's going to keep some of you young people off the streets. I'm going to tell you what's going to keep you getting married in the will of God. I'm going to tell you what's going to keep you in this church. It ain't living more separated. Hey, these guys were just as separated as anybody, and I believe in separation. Man, my wife don't wear breeches. My girls ain't never had a pair on. We don't run with them. We're not Pharisees about that. We believe in a separated, clean life. I ain't a running around with my Bermuda shorts on. I ain't a running around with a tank top on, and my wife and kids ain't neither. That's exactly right, but there's more to it just being separated. There's more to it just starting your branches out. There's more to it just getting ready of television. There's more to it just getting ready of tobacco. It is a life of spirit filled with God. Now you know I'm telling it right there. You know it. I believe you ought to get ready of tobacco. I believe you ought to get rid of everything. It ain't right. But if that's all you do and hang out in Bethany, you're going to be miserable. Separated, not, I couldn't imagine being separated and not having a touch of God. Yeah. I wasn't planning on saying it, but here's a good place to say it. I grew up there in Henderson, North Carolina. There's a little boy and his family lived beside us in an old white trailer. I didn't realize it until about 6 or 7 months ago. It goes by the name of Ray Jenkins. Y'all ever heard of him? Hey, man. Me and him growed up beside each other and didn't realize it until about 6 or 7 months ago. We lived there together probably about 4 or 5 years. Went to elementary school. Hey, man, his mama and his sister and her daughters come by to see my papa here about 7 or 8 months ago, maybe a year ago. And boy was out there, and I said, whatever happened to old Ray? And she said, you know, Ray, he got saved, and he's a Baptist preacher now. I said, pray, what about that? And boy, and I'm sitting there, yeah, but there's a few problems with that. Josh said, what? She said, well, you know, they like all that separation, and man, they live clean, and this causes a little friction in the family. I said, glory to God, what religion is? What did I? She said, he's an independent Baptist. I said, in my mind, sounds like my kind of guy right there. Amen. I said, where does he live at? I want to look him up, see if he's in a good church. And she said, he lives up there in Kentucky. I said, what about that? I preach up there every once in a while. And I said, what town? She said, McQuaidy. I said, what in the world? I said, glory to God. I said, what church does he go to? She said, I can't remember the name. I said, is it Pleasant View? She said, that's it. I said, glory. He's got good religion, and I ain't even met him yet. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, they don't like us when we're separated. They don't like it when we dress right. They don't like it when we walk right. But I can care less whether they like it or not. I ain't doing it to please you. I ain't doing it to please this man of God. I'm doing it because I want to take every step I have to get God all over me. I mean, get him all over me. I'm sick of not having God. Speak of truth in Christ, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I'd sit down and shut up right now if I thought I was preaching without God. I'm sick of it. Going through the motions. Here we are again, dead churches. I'll tell you what a dead church needs. They need a spirit-filled preacher. You hear me? Us evangelists, they don't just need somebody to come through and go through the motions. They need somebody with the Holy Ghost on. Yes, sir. Pastors, missionaries, moms, dads, whoever you are, spirit-filled. Faith will get you in the right place. I told them, Brother Ray's mom and dad, or mama, I said, glory to God, isn't it amazing that God would raise 3 little boys up on the same property? God would save every one of them out of sin. God would call all 3 of them to be preachers. God had put all 3 of them in independent Baptist churches of like faith. God would give all of them the same standard. You know what I'm trying to tell you? The Holy Ghost knows what he's doing and getting us in the right place. I'm going to tell you, he knows. He knows when you need to hear that message. He knows when to get us in the right place, my beloved friend. Hey, the faith will get you in the right place. Oh, but then he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued. I don't know if y'all remember it or not. I preached that school revival here years ago. I preached out of this same text I'm preaching from. And I preached from that word endued. I don't know if y'all remember it. That word endued means to be clothed with. And I preached on what are you going to wear for the rest of your life. Oh, we worry about what our hair looks like and our clothes. And we should. We ought to be modest. Oh, but I wonder if we've considered wearing the power of the Holy Ghost of God for the rest of our lives. Brother Josh, it ought to be an everyday thing with us that we get up in the morning and look for the power of God. I'm going to tell you what faith knows how to do. It knows how to put on the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, just like Elisha when Elijah left out of here. Oh, we talk about it a lot of times. A lot of guys miss preach that. They say that mantle just fell on him and all of a sudden, oh no, you missed it. Elisha, when he got that mantle, he had to take his off. He had to get rid of any preconceived idea that he had about walking with God, and he had to rent his own clothes and put the mantle of Elijah on. Hey, we're going to have to get rid of anything that's going to hinder us from not having God in our lives. And faith knows how to put the power of God on. Faith knows how to get along with God. Faith knows how to stay until the dew of heaven falls, until the fire of heaven falls, until the wind of God blows. Faith, then faith will get you to praying. Faith will get you to talking to God. Faith knows what we're doing. And number 2, and I'll hasten through here. I won't keep you long this morning. Number 2, I'll tell you what, if we're going to leave Bethany and go to Jerusalem and go further with God than we've ever been, number 1, it requires faith. Number 2, it'll result in a fullness. That's what it'll result in. You get out of a house of misery and you go on over to Jerusalem, it's going to result in a fullness. That obedience is going to result in a fullness. There'll never be another Pentecost, but we can glean practical truths from it. Oh, there's, you study the book of Acts chapter 2, and there's two things that stand out to me. When the Spirit of God came, there was fire and there was wind. Oh, and we can learn from these natural things that God has created us, that the attributes that we are to have in our lives and the fruits of being Spirit-filled, there will be fire and there will be wind. I don't care what nobody says, there's going to be. You cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You cannot be filled and not have some kind of zeal about you, not have some kind of fire about you. He's but a guy. Hey, I don't care if you, and if you're old and that's your personality, but there's still going to be some fire. You know I'm telling it right. There's coming of the Spirit, the control. There's the wind. There's the fire. The wind. Two things. It'll direct us. Then it'll drive us. Why are you doing what you're doing? Oh, there's something driving me. Something pushing me. It's the Holy Ghost of God. The wind. Atmosphere. You ever read after Brother F.E. Marsh? He's in heaven now. He's got a book on the emblems of the Spirit of God. I love to read it and glean from it. He's got the fire, the river, the dew, the anointing. Boy, and he expounds on all those. And boy, that's tremendous. But he's got one on the atmosphere. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost, our atmosphere. The air. You know, if there wasn't no air in this building, you come over here and beat on this piano all you want to, but you ain't going to hear nothing. Because the air is what carries the sound of those vibrating strings. Hey, you couldn't hear the guitars. These ladies got up, sang this morning. They could open their mouths, scream, fly. There wasn't no air, you wouldn't hear them. Air's the atmosphere. Air carries the voice from God. The Holy Ghost carries the voice from God down to where we are. That we had you here. Yes, it was preaching. Yes, it was a witness. Oh, but it was more than that. The Holy Ghost of God came to where I was and dealt with my heart. The wind of God. The atmosphere. You don't ever think about what kind of atmosphere we produce. I want to walk into church and hopefully I got a good atmosphere about me. Walk into my home, hopefully I got a good atmosphere about me. But he was talking along the lines of this business of gravity. And he said, you know that on the average man, science has come to the conclusion that on the average sized man, there is 32,000 pounds of gravitational pressure holding him on the ground. I read that and I said, somebody's got to be smoking some serious high-powered marijuana cigarettes to believe that. What I said, Brother Mo, I ain't going to lie about what I said. And so I read out and I said, all right, Mr. Commentator, you're going to have to convince me. He said, it's also been proven that the spring of air from within balances it out and keeps the spring of air from without from crushing us. Glory to God, I read that and my mind went to 1 John where it said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, these problems, these trials, these heartaches, you'd have quit a long time ago. Hey, the first person got mad and said, I'm leaving, you'd have left with them. Amen. Oh, but what's kept us here? It's the Holy Ghost of God. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know why your marriage is still together? The Holy Ghost. You let the Holy Ghost drive you. You let the Holy Ghost direct you. Oh, yes. Then there's fire. I won't labor on that. There's tongues of fire. Our speech will have some fire about it. Sir, I can't help but think about them 300 foxes. Samson caught over and tied them tail to tail and set their tails on fire. By the time some of you got your tail on fire, amen. Said, amen, that's exactly right. I don't have time to preach that message, but anyhow, we need some fire. We need the fire of God. Yes. Been thinking about Isaiah when he was seen the Lord high and lifted up. No seraphims and cherubims flying around the throne of God. Oh, I often thought about it. My soul, them seraphims, I ain't gonna labor. Three sets of wings, one that cover the feet, one that cover the face, one they fly with. Oh, and they came over there with a coal off the live altar and touched the lips of Isaiah. You ever just feel like your flame's just about to go out and you ain't got it like you used to? All of a sudden, somebody that's been in the presence of God will come by you and they'll be in their flight of worship, man, and just the wind off the tips of their wings will fire you up and get. You know what the wind does? It keeps the fire going, man. It keeps the fire flaming. You ain't gonna have no good fire without no good oxygen on it. Amen. Every once in a while, we build a fire at the house and, man, we get down, and me and them kids and all three of us together, we'll be blowing on the fire. I'll have two little pretty blonde-headed girls, my old blonde-headed Bubba, and then we'll be blowing on the fire. Boy, one day we was doing that, and the Holy Ghost said, if y'all would do that to me spiritually, if all of y'all would get to try to get the fire going in the house, and I'm going to tell you, it's not just Daddy, it's not just Mama, it's Mama and the kids working together in the house, amen, right there, and to get God to working. Hey, I'm going to move on. I'm done. I preached a burden in my heart. 27 books in your New Testament, right? Paul wrote 13 of them. If you're a Bible believer, he wrote 13 of them. Amen. Whether you believe he wrote Hebrews or not, when you get to heaven, God's going to straighten you out. Can I get a witness? Amen. He wrote it. All y'all disagree with me. I don't care. He wrote it. Say amen. Yes. That's right. So, but that's not the point I'm trying to prove. God help me to stay focused here. 27 books in the New Testament. 9 writers, if I'm reading right. 9 writers from Romans to Revelation. And Paul wrote the majority under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, those books. And who wrote more on being spirit-filled? Was it Peter who was there? Was it James who was there? Or was it Paul who was not at Pentecost? It was the Apostle Paul. Boy, I seen that and I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. You didn't have to be at Pentecost to be spirit-filled. Come on now, say amen right there. There won't never be another Pentecost, but there can be a day when you get on an altar and give your all and all to God. It'll be the closest thing to Pentecost you've ever experienced. It's the will of God. And I hope I'm making sense today. It'll resolve in a fullness. And then fourthly, and I ain't going to preach more on that, there'll be a relentless, never-ending fight. Every day. Every day we're going to fight our flesh. Every day we'll fight them foes. Every day there's going to be a fight. And it may be as simple a fight as keeping our own attitudes right, but there's going to be a fight every day. Every day! Gonna be a fight. If there's not a fight in your life, you better check up. Ask the Lord, am I really spirit-filled? Have I really got what it takes to be used to the Lord? You ain't got to be a preacher to be spirit-filled. Amen. You ain't got to be on the platform to be spirit-filled. Amen. You ain't got to be a deacon. You ain't got to be a Sunday school teacher. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are a candidate to be filled with the Amen. Holy Ghost of God. Amen. We probably wouldn't cross the creek to hear him preach anymore. I won't call his name. There was a preacher one time preached on the doctrine of being spirit-filled. I don't hear him preach anymore. But God used that man in that message to change my life. You hearing me? Spirit-filled. I mean, the guy got rough too. And it was good. The rougher he got, the better I liked it. He said, you ought to respect your pastor. You ought to respect your elders. Well, but God, I never got over. Never. To this day, 16 years later, I still ain't got over. I could quit today, and I still won't be over it. You hear me quitting tomorrow? If I go home and say, hey, I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a man that knowed God that had quit. And don't take me wrong. I don't say that bragging. Please. It changed me. It changed. I'm talking about I got so thirsty for God that I'd work 40 hours a week. I'll just testify. I just 40 hours a week. I'd get up in the morning and pray all the way to work. Have a 9 o'clock break, pray 15 minutes. Have a 30-minute lunch, eat my sandwich, and pray for 25 minutes. 3 o'clock break. Reading my Bible. Pray all the way home. Go home, go out in the woods, get on my hands and knees and crawl to my secret place out there in the middle of nowhere, nobody looking but me and God. and pray for a couple hours. Get up, go to the house, eat supper. By then, Matthew and them guys and them got together. John, let's go on the mountain and have a prayer meeting. Let's go. Consumed with it. Got saved in December the 31st. God called me to preach in April the same year, or the following year, 96. Saved December 95, preaching April of 96. And from a revival meeting we had, that four-week meeting, it went 4 weeks. For the next 4 years of my life, I was in church every night somewhere. I wasn't preaching. Amen. All those meetings. We went to Bible college 3 nights a week, and on Friday nights, if we couldn't find a meeting to go to, we was on the streets preaching. Amen. On fire for God.
Amen.
I heard another preacher here recently that we wouldn't cross the creek to preach. Something about these guys that we don't like, every once in a while they say something that's right. Ain't that amazing? Amen. He made a statement. I was just flipping through it, heard it. He made a statement. He said, do you remember the time in your life when you was as close to God as you ever was? I said, yes. In my heart, I said, yes. He said, whatever it took to get you there, it's going to take that to keep you there.
Amen.
Whatever it took to get you full of God, it's going to take that to keep you there.
Amen.
If it took 3 hours of praying a day to get you close to God, it's going to take that to keep you there.
Amen.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with reading 10, 15, 20 chapters in your Bible every day. Wow, we got time. And I'm not saying that you have to spend 10 hours a day and read 50 chapters in your Bible, but I'm going to tell you something. The closer you get to God, the more thirsty you're going to get for His Word, the more thirsty you're going to get for church.
Amen.
I mean, that's, God changed our lives. We just went all out. We just wanted to go with God. But there was a fight. Wasn't always easy. Fourth one, I'm done. You got the little outline? It requires faith. Results in a fullness. There'll be a relentless, never-ending fight. And then lastly, there will be fruit that remains.
Amen.
Do you think Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached with the power of the Holy Ghost, 3,000 people got, do you think that some 2,000 years later, that God had reached down and just saved an old sot, nasty, drunk, redneck that deserved to die and go to hell, Brother Bobby. Let him trade his bottle in for a Bible, call him to preach. Let him come up here to McQuaid, Kentucky, and preach on the doctrine of the fullness of God. Fruit that remains. Christ started it in his ministry. Peter, by faith, started it, and not necessarily started, I don't know, just got filled with the Holy Ghost of God. God started something that day, and it remains.
Amen.
And the sad part about it is so many people miss out. Old fella wanted to go on a cruise all his life. Finally saved up enough money to buy the ticket, went on the cruise. Captain got to noticing on the last day of the cruise that he never seen that man at any of the meals. So the captain went to him and said, sir, I hadn't seen you at breakfast, lunch, or supper. I hadn't seen you at any of the shows. Matter of fact, the only time I've seen you is early in the morning and late at night. He said, well, he said, mister, I've wanted to go on a cruise all my life, and I'm poor. I only had money to buy the ticket. I didn't have money to buy food when I got here. So he said, I just brought some saltine crackers and some water, and that's all I've been eating the whole trip. That captain said, let me see your ticket, mister. Man pulled that ticket out, handed it to him. Said, you missed it. What do you mean? He said, when you bought the ticket, you bought every meal. You paid for every show. All expenses paid. Ain't a lot of saved folk like that. They just think they're going to escape hell, and that's it. And that's great enough. That'd be a blessing. But there's more to it. You don't have to live in Bethany all your life. You can go to Jerusalem.